our winner of the Ethiopian Opal Ring giveaway. We're looking forward to that. We'll also have some entertainment news that I write, stories and good stories of the day, all coming up for you right here on the morning show at WFHR.
Is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Students, teachers, and staff at Michigan State University will come together for a memorial 2 days after a gunman shot and killed 3 students and injured 5 others, 4 of them critically. The shooter took his own life. Investigators still haven't pinned down a motive. CBS's Charlie DeMar is in East Lansing.
I never thought it would happen to me.
Freshman Ryan Cahalan sheltered with his girlfriend in a nearby library that night.
Mass shootings are becoming common, and it's just not an okay thing. Like, we need to do something about it.
Students painted the words, "How many more?" on a campus landmark. Flags in Michigan were lowered to half staff. Classes at the university have been canceled for the remainder of the week.
The man who pleaded guilty to killing 10 people at a top supermarket in Buffalo, New York, is set to be sentenced to life in prison this hour. Police say Peyton Gendron is a white supremacist who targeted the store because it's in a black neighborhood. All of the victims were black. The prosecution could rest its case later this week in Alex Murdoch's double murder trial. The disgraced South Carolina lawyer denies charges. He killed his wife and 22-year-old son. Correspondent Nikki Batiste says yesterday jurors heard from a close family member.
On the stand, Marion Proctor described her sister's marriage to Alex Murdaugh. Proctor testified that hours before her sister was killed, Alex asked Maggie to return home from the family's beach house.
Experts say an acute homelessness crisis is taking shape in parts of Turkey and Syria, shaken by massive earthquakes last week. Corrine Fleischer with the UN World Food Program says food insecurity was already an issue.
In Syria now, half of the population faces hunger.
The death toll from the earthquake has surpassed 41,000. A 42-year-old woman was pulled alive from the rubble today. Sources tell CBS News the military had been tracking that Chinese spy balloon shot down off South Carolina since it left the south coast of China a week before it entered U.S. airspace. As for those 3 mystery objects shot down over the U.S. and Canada, the White House says they were probably harmless. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
There's been a lot of pressure about, you know, coming out, addressing the public, telling people what they know, what they don't know. I think that is also the key here. And that's kind of what we've been hearing from these lawmakers in this briefing, that there is unanswered questions that they just haven't been able to get the answers to yet.
Officials say those answers will have to wait until the debris is located and examined. Americans were not in a shopping mood over the holidays, but they're buying again now. The Commerce Department says spending at stores and restaurants jumped 3% in January to its fastest pace in almost 2 years. Car sales were also up as more inventory arrived at dealer lots after supply chain shortages that slowed down production. S&P futures are down 13, Dow futures off 106. This is CBS News.
I'm Martin Hoke, the inventor of Navage Nasal Care, and I love Navage. I've told you about how your nose is the body's air filter, that Navage's powered suction will help flush out allergens, viruses, mucus, and germs, and that Navage will help you breathe better. But what do other people say about Navage? Like Tara, quote, "My doctor wanted me to do saline rinses for my allergies, but I've never been able to successfully use a neti pot. Navage uses suction power, so it's foolproof. There are nights when I'll have particularly bothersome allergies. I'll bust it out, and the results are immediate. It's such a relief. It's become a lifesaver." Unquote. She's one of over 100,000 online reviews praising Navage, the all-natural solution trusted by over 3 million people to help you breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and stay healthier without drugs. Navage is available at Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, Target, Rite Aid, and online. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E, clean nose, healthy life.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 40. West winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Overcast again tonight, lows dip down to about 21. Overcast tomorrow, highs around 25. Clear skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 26. 40 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 36.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Terry Johns.
Good morning.
And we are going to have some fun this hour. All the usual unusual suspects, Danny Wright stories, good stories of the day, entertainment news coming up for you. But right now, we are joined by Miss Jenny Furkey. And Jenny, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Jenny is joining us thanks to Stone Age Gem Minerals and More Opal Giveaway. We gave away this Ethiopian opal ring from Valentine's Day thanks to our friends at Stone Age Gem. And Jenny was the winner. Congratulations,
congratulations.
Jenny.
Thank you.
Wait, let me make this really official. It's not official until... There we go. You got to get the winning bell. There
yeah.
Now it's official.
I mean, they must have been on break. The bell ringers.
Jenny, if you wouldn't mind, I thought it would be fun for you to be able to share your story with the listeners here. I am a foolish romantic, so I will admit that journalistically that is part of the reason for this. But we also think that this was a lot of fun. So thank you all very much for joining us. Would you mind sharing that story?
Well, I knew Greg way back in country school, you know, back when you had the little ones out in the country, and I knew him from there. But when we went into the public school system, I did not have him in many of my classes. He was smarter than me, so he had the college classes, and I took the easy classes. But I knew of him. I knew of his family through visitations with the teacher conferences and stuff. His mother would show up there, and so I kind of knew the family a little bit anyway. But we went to a housewarming. My husband and I, a neighbor next door has a had built a house and had a housewarming, and Greg happened to be their nephew. And so as soon as I seen him, of course I recognized him, and I noticed him looking at me, and I thought, this hasn't happened before. And, so it was really nice. I happened to walk into the kitchen when him and his brothers were talking, and his dad took one look at me, and he says, "Hey, Mick, look it, there's a girl for you." And Mick says, "No, Dad, she's my age." In my grade. So his aunt happened to notice us looking at each other, so she asked if we'd like to go out on a double date, and we did. So that's how it kind of started.
That is really sweet. That is really cool. That's a great story, Jenny. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's funny how that stuff can happen. My daughter and her fiance had a kind of a similar thing where they were going to school together, and I think he was a grade ahead or a grade below her or something, and he really liked her, but she didn't really know too much of who he was. And they ended up meeting she ended up remembering who he was because he beat her in some contest or something, and so she remembered his name like for years. Because then they come and find each other all those years later, and now they're happy together. I love these kind of stories. My Nan and Papa were very similar. Sorry, Terry. My Nan and Papa, my grandparents, they got together after they had already been married before in the early 20s. And my papa in the neighborhood, my papa like adored my nana, and she didn't even know who he was. And so he got like offered to babysit her kid one time just to kind of like get to know her a little bit more and also to help, you know, that kind of thing. That's what people did back in the day. And sure enough, he hooked her. He hooked her. And they had seven kids together in 40, 50 years of her marriage. Like, it's fun to hear those kind of stories.
So, Jenny, how long ago was this?
Mm. We've been married, I'll be 48 years in June.
Oh, congratulations.
My husband ran his own little business selling produce, and he used to go to Winona, Minnesota. And I would go with him on weekends when I didn't work. And I had told him when he first proposed two times before this, no, because first of all, I was still living at home and felt I should have a job, and I wanted to go to school and have a job of some kind to experience that before I got married. Mm. And my folks had waited a year to get married, so I told them we had to wait at least a year. Mm-hmm. And so we were out there in Winona in May, and he looks up at me, and bringing a bag of potatoes back to the end of the trailer there, and he says, "Do you think we'll ever get married?" And I said, "Well, I don't see why not." I said, "You waited a year, so yeah, we can get married. Just be set up like a Christmas tree."
Oh, gosh.
So then he has me go over to a phone booth. First we talked about how we were going to do this. None of us, our parents or us, could afford a church wedding. So his grandparents had gotten married in Winona Courthouse. they had ran off and got married. So we decided it would be fun to do that. So then he had me run over to a phone booth, and I called the courthouse, and we found out what it took to get a license. He wasn't going to let me have a chance to get stuck.
No,
this
is a smart man.
And we got it that day.
You did it that day?
Wow.
So then about a month later, June 11th, we went over and got married by justice of peace. And we didn't tell anybody that we were doing this. And so it was a surprise when we were on our way home. We were trying to figure out who we should tell first, his folks, my folks. And I knew my folks didn't have a problem with this, or I would have never probably gotten married to him because that would have been important to me. But we decided to see his grandpa, who was on the way home. He always liked to have the news of the neighborhood anyway, so we went to him first. We practiced on him, and then we went to my folks, and then we went to his folks.
Oh, is that
awesome? That's really cool.
God, is that great, Jenny.
We got married on a Wednesday. The following Sunday was going to be Father's Day, so we had a reception at my cousin's bar.
How nice.
And my dad played concertina for us. He was taking lessons with some girls out of Point, and I asked him if they would play for our reception. And so then he played along with them.
So it all came together perfectly.
It was meant to be. I go back and I can't think of any other way I would have done it. It was just the perfect way to do it.
That's
beautiful.
So that's wonderful.
I didn't have the traditional proposal maybe, but, you know, we did go, before we went out, we did go and buy each of us a ring and at Smith's Jewelers here in Wisconsin Rapids. And I wanted a white dress, so we went to Johnson Hills, and they didn't have what I was looking for, and I was going to give up on the idea, and we drove past Shopko. I said, well, just drive in, let me see. And so I went in, and I found me a dress for $12. It was all white with just a little blue flower trim on it and looked just like what I would want. And so
that's
awesome. How we kind of got together and married
yeah.
and all within a month.
That's perfect.
Jen, I'm sorry, did you say Greg was your husband's name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Greg's my kind of guy. Like you got to lock that down. You get something good, you lock it down. Like, it's a smart man right there. He was not going to give you an opportunity to think about this too much. Like, get that wedding in. That's a beautiful story, Jenny. And it has been really, really fun getting to know you joining us. We really appreciate you spending the time with us. And are you enjoying the ring? Have you gotten the ring?
No, he's going to have to make it for me.
Okay.
It'll be another week before they'll have it ready, and then I think I'm supposed to meet him there to get a picture.
Oh, nice.
Excellent.
Perfect.
Let us know how that goes, and we're looking forward to it, and we'll put it on our Facebook page and everything. Jenny, appreciate you doing this as well. It's not easy always to share these kind of things, and not everybody is open to doing that. We really appreciate you doing that with us and having some fun and joining us on the air for this, Jenny. Thank you so much.
And thanks for being a loyal listener.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Jenny. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. We'll find out how the ring fits and all that. We'll talk again, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You take care and have a great day.
You too. Have a great day, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was awesome.
I love that.
That was so much fun.
That is so sweet. You know what? It's a good thing this wasn't happening now, because when they stopped to see Grandpa...
Oh.
Now, with phones and not having to pay long distance, they would have never made it home without everybody knowing.
Everybody would have known. Everybody under the sun would have known. We would have known, and we don't even know that. Yeah. That was a cool story.
That is awesome. And, you know, when she said they didn't tell anybody, because I thought maybe when she said a month later, like maybe their parents were along or, you know, a sibling or, you know, something like that. But spur of the moment... But still planned. I mean, like she said, you know, they got rings. She got a dress. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's a sweet story.
I wouldn't be surprised if Greg had been like plotting and planning a little bit in his head. Like, okay, if the moment arises, I'm going to pounce.
Well.
And I got a game plan.
Yeah, you think? He's like being all smooth, like he's carrying this bag of potatoes. Yeah, like, you know, I'm just going to, you know, you think we'll get married or...
I don't even know what he looks like, but I love the image of him walking up with those potatoes, like in the story and unfolding like
there's
that.
There's something
That's
about
awesome.
Persistence, right?
Absolutely.
Mean, you know, try again.
I
love she's... stuck to her guns. Like, no, we're going to wait a year. And that's good. And have those opportunities, you know, school, a job, and things that she wanted to pursue. So probably speaks to the longevity of that relationship.
Well
right?
said.
I mean, that's really cool.
God, that was a great story. And we wouldn't have heard it without our friends at Stone Age Gem Minerals and more. A big shout out to them. Thank you to them working with the station here. Looking forward to working with them more in the future. You can go to their Facebook page right now and like their page. And might not be a bad idea, because these guys might be doing stuff like this again. And everything. So encourage you to do that. Support local. Go to their Facebook page, Stone Age Gem Minerals and More, and like their page. And again, a big shout out to them. Let's go ahead and keep going here, Terry. We'll just keep moving and go right up to the break and touch on a little bit of entertainment news. Chris Stapleton, did you get to see his Super Bowl national
anthem? Absolutely.
I would think that by now everybody's seen it and nobody would have missed it if you didn't get to see it in real time. Certainly, I would say one of the top 10 anthems I've seen.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was very well done. I thought it was really good. And everybody, a pretty consensus feeling on this one. Most people were moved to tears, if not just moved in general by it. And even though the performance went viral, Chris Stapleton probably is never going to see it. He told ET, quote, "I don't know if I can watch it, man. I try not to watch myself back too much." So he already doesn't watch a lot of his stuff, let alone something like that.
And he's like that. And, there was just a whole bunch of the root things that were really cool about it, especially if you're a Chris Stapleton fan. But, and not to, enlighten people about my taste in music, but honestly, for me, he could have been the halftime. Entertainment also. I would have been fine with that. He could have done both.
I think if I'm curious to see when that's going to happen. Like, when are they going to finally? Because I make no bones about it. I'm a hip hop fan. I like jazz. My styles of music tend to go away from country, but I'm a big fan of folk music. I'm a big fan of bluegrass, and I'm discovering more and more as I spend more time with Terry. There is a lot more country that I do like if I just take a chance to listen to it. Now they've done Rihanna's one of the biggest stars in the world. Even if she hasn't toured and had a hit song in 5 years, I understand her being the halftime show. Her being pregnant kind of threw a monkey wrench in all of this, and the fact that she still went on and did a great job, I think that's noteworthy. I also, as a big fan of hers, would be the first to say it was kind of boring. It was a little like, it reminded me actually of the halftime shows when we were kids. I don't think a lot of people remember this. The halftime show used to be like the NFL would just say, "We're just going to cut our losses here. We know people are going to go to the bathroom and get more snacks and all that, so we don't really care. We're going to have a magician out there." They had an Elvis impersonator like in like '89 at the halftime show. Like, it was ridiculous. What changed was the like celebrity death match things. Remember MTV did that?
Oh, I do. Yes.
The big one was in Living Color. Fox was trying to get the Super Bowl and they couldn't get it. So what they did finally was like, okay, well, we're just going to counter program. And in Living Color did a live segment thing during the halftime show. And they stole every rating under the sun from the NFL. The third quarter numbers for that Super Bowl were the lowest, I believe, to this day ever for a third quarter of a Super Bowl. After that, the NFL was like, "You're not taking our money.
We're keeping it in-house." But anybody would do that. Absolutely. That makes sense. Yeah.
Think of this. Every halftime show artist has never been paid. They don't make anything from this. The Weeknd put $7 million of his own money into that show.
To do that, yeah.
So I think that we all need to take a little bit of a grain of salt with this. One, in perspective of any show is better than what we used to have.
Sure.
And also, like, what would you come up with?
Well,
I think that we don't do this. I don't know if we do this enough in society, though, Terry.
What would I come up with? A collection.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Now, pitch it to them. Pitch it to them. Not me. Pitch it to them. Because I feel like if you've got ideas and you think they're that good, throw them out there. I'm a little tired of people just pointing the finger and blaming and blame. Like, we love to hate on stuff. Like, what happened?
See, I don't think it was bad, but I don't think it was.
But people
great.
Are so much more quickly to more happy to trash something than they are to praise something.
Sure.
We before the Super Bowl, I every like announce or you know talking head on the Mouse Network and Fox and all these other stations talking about Patrick Mahomes and like this Patrick Mahomes, this greatness. Like, they've been bored. They're already bored with his greatness. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Why can't we at least wait until somebody's retired or something like that?
Well, and
like,
he's due his greatness, right? Right? Like, yes. Why are we minimizing?
Yes.
Yeah.
It bothers me a little bit. I also think, though, that things need to be held accountable and you need to be able to have an opinion. And if you didn't like it, you didn't like it. That's fair to say. We can have a balance of both, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious to see when the NFL is going to wake up and have a country star be their halftime show. They don't do this. They've done it with hip-hop. They've done it with R&B. They have had pop stars like U2 and Bruce Springsteen. where's the Garth Brookses? Where's the, you know, Carrie Underwoods? Where's the, even if it was a collection of these artists, like, the numbers speak for themselves. It doesn't matter if I'm buying country music, everybody else is. Like, it's hugely popular to the point where if you listen to our station 105.5, if you listen to, like, Flip Through the Dial, you can't tell anymore a lot of stuff of what's country and what's pop music. They did this because of the popularity of country music. Like, it's right there for you. Mm-hmm. The NFL is missing the buck here. They're really, like, missing out on a big part of their audience. Part of the problem is they feel like they already have you. They feel like they already have the country listener. They want to get the hip-hop listener. Sure. They want to get the R&B listener. And that's, you know, here or there or whatever. But I do think that it's just a matter of time before you see a country artist there. Speaking of Rihanna's halftime show, all this being said, Rihanna's Super Bowl halftime show performance was a success. In fact, it outdrew the actual game. Rihanna's pregnancy reveal attracted 118.7 million viewers, while the game itself brought in 113. Rihanna had the second most watched halftime show in Super Bowl history behind Katy Perry and Left Shark, who drew in 121 million viewers in 2015. That's impressive, but I don't know how much people were going to watch because of Rihanna or because, hey, we haven't seen Rihanna in 5 years. What's she going to do?
Sure. And I thought, you know, honestly, I didn't, like I said, I didn't dislike it. It's just not, and she was smart, I think, in her song selection because it was all stuff that if you've had on, you know, if you've listened Top 40 in the last, you could sing a lot. You know what I mean? Like they were familiar songs. Mm-hmm. So that was good. And I, you know, I don't mind the pregnancy thing at all. Like I could care less about that. That doesn't bother. I mean, I'm not adverse to that. I think you perform the whole time. I can say though, if I was knowingly pregnant, there's no way I would have been up on those platforms. How like that would just be like, I would just be, and I'm not saying she was being unsafe. No, she was clearly tethered. I mean, it was, you could see that she was connected, but I would just be like, I don't think so.
No way. But it was in a heck of a performance. Yeah. I thought it was a really good, whether she was singing live or not, I was still impressed. And it actually was, in some ways I was more impressed because she was pregnant going through it. And pregnancy is not just carrying around a 10-pound weight. It affects everything. Everything. And I'm only pretending like I know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to lie and pretend I know anything about what it's like to be pregnant. But it's impressive to me what she pulled off. And it's got to be pretty cool to be that kid. Like, I know it's not even born yet, but imagine that kid's life. Like, I think I have a pretty cool origin story. That's a pretty cool
that's
story.
That's funny.
We'll take a break right here. When we come back, science says this is why we love true crime shows. We're going to get into that when we come back. We've got some other stuff for you, too, all coming up here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
In Wisconsin, Badger hockey is historic. We're proud of our nationally ranked Badgers winning 6 championships. At UW Health, we're also proud to support the same top rankings. Break your arm in a body check. Visit UW Health, the number one orthopedic care in the state. Or break your heart after a tough loss. The number one hospital in Wisconsin's got you. No matter the need, UW Health is here to deliver the best care for every Badger. UW Health. Remarkable.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 40. West winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Overcast again tonight. Lows dip down to about 21. Overcast tomorrow. Highs around 25. Clear skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 26. 40 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 36.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you, and we're going to get into this one. True crime is huge. It has been for a while. They're saying right now it has been for years. There's a scientific reason for it, and we're going to get into that right now. But I think that there was a little bit of a pushback in this article about the popularity of true crime. And I will tell you, just flip through your dial on your TV.
Right. So if it's on 17 of the 20 channels, it's probably popular.
It feels like it. Yeah, yeah. There's a guy named Colton Skiver, and he's a research scientist at something called the Recreational Fear Lab at the University of Denmark. That seems like an interesting job. He says, quote, "We feel like we're more prepared in these kinds of situations. So if this dangerous situation were to occur, you feel a little more prepared and you know what you should or shouldn't do. Luckily, consuming too much true crime content won't turn you into a serial killer." Shiver says, quote, "The research is pretty clear at this point, and that playing violent video games doesn't make kids more violent. It would be fairly sure, I would be fairly sure that the same is true of something like true crime. It might have some psychological effects, but it's very unlikely that it would have any effects along those lines." There's a bunch of shows that are like this going way back in the day, like Unsolved Mysteries and things. And my Nana, it was a huge fan of these shows. She would watch them before she'd crash at night. And then she would have bad dreams, or she would wake up in the middle of the night for scared.
Like in a sweat?
Yes, yes, like that. So she stopped watching them late at night, but still kept watching them, of course. But I remember that happening to her and her being kind of so thrown from it, because this is a woman that not only grew up through the Depression and all these other things, but in the projects. I mean, you know, she's seen rough times. She knows what it's like to keep one eye open at night. And these shows are the first thing that ever did that to her. I thought that was really interesting as a kid when she talked about that.
See, and I think some of these shows, like, to me, sometimes they're like really creepy, twisty, you know, like probably what your grandma was experiencing. Mm-hmm. But then I wonder if watching them, does it make us better crime solvers?
Well, and I think
the opposite side of it. Not does it make us serial killers, but does it make us more in tune to the things that potentially happen?
I think that it's pretty cool that we're getting a little bit of science behind this, because I think that kind of theory has been around for way too long, and it is interesting to see it kind of crushed. That never made sense to me. I think that there are some things, sure, that are you know, recreational, or you grow up and you know, grow into, but the most things you're born as. I think most things you were just born this way. There's plenty of examples of it. And I really like the idea, because this goes back to way back, like old caveman days and stuff. We wanted to be prepared. We did everything mm-hmm. we could to be prepared for any situation. And with this right here, what we're seeing is we're still like that. We still haven't really evolved past that. We've evolved past the fact of, oh, we don't have to spend every waking moment running around looking for food and shelter and all this. But our brains and our bodies still, like, that part has the flight or fight has not evolved. That is still a part of our brain.
Absolutely.
And so what do? How do we fight or flight? You know, we research, we figure things out. I don't feel as nervous or scared about these situations when I know a little bit more about them. Most fear, most anger stems from misunderstanding. So it makes sense that if we understand this a little bit more, we feel a little more prepared. You know, these shows do that for us. I also think there's a natural curiosity out of people that just exists when it comes to almost any subject.
Yeah, and especially stuff like that. You know, like, I'm the cover your eyes person, but then I, you know, peek between, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Yeah, like you don't want to see it, you don't want to know it, but then sometimes you just... The curiosity overcomes the, you know, need to be sheltered from it.
We were talking earlier about books, and one of the last 10 years, one of the best books I've read is Assassination Vacation from Sarah Vowell. She's a historian, a great, great historian, author, and it's such a fun... She never had taken a vacation, and her sister and her family was pushing her to take a vacation, so finally she's like, all right, I will, but I'm going to do my book during it. And she went to the locations of all the most famous assassinations in this country and gave you the story behind them and everything, and a lot of the details, while kind of telling you the story of her and her niece and her sister traveling. It's a fun book, and it's very well written. And I think Sarah Vowell is one of my favorite authors of all time. And one of my favorite quotes of hers kind of plays into this a little bit. I just want to make sure I get this right. Let me clearly state that while I am obsessed with death, I am against it. It's a simple phrase. It's a simple sentence, but it's
like,
very...
Don't stereotype me. Yes, don't compartmentalize me somewhere.
I got no interest in blood and gore and all that, but I am interested.
But, you know, I did spend my first vacation in how many years, you know, like... Exploring it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people out there can relate to that quote. I think a lot of people are in, I don't know about obsessed. She was being sarcastic a little bit there, but I think that
curious.
Very curious by it and stuff. And all of this stems back to the fact of we don't know what's next. I'm not talking religion, I'm not talking science or any of these things. We have no genuine 100% proof this is what's waiting for you after life. That is a genuine fear by almost every human being. The fearlessness, all these other factors, put that aside. If you are faced with death, you don't know what's next. There's an understanding, a natural fear of that. I think everything that we can do to kind of like, and you know, have some clarity in the entropy of all of these things is where we're going to with all these shows. And then there's obviously the people that just want to be entertained and find it entertaining. You know, there's that too.
Well,
yeah, that part I'm not really interested in. I'm not interested in any of these shows. None of it pulls me in. I had a very violent upbringing. I had enough violence for my taking. I will say I used to watch the I was really into the show that was on Headline News late at night or something. It was
Was it like a crime scene one?
Yeah, it was a crime scene
or
one.
Investigates like, or something like that?
Investigative reporting kind of show or something where they... I'll never forget the episode. It was a little bit like Unsolved Mysteries. Why can't I think of the name of the show? It's very popular. Forensic Files.
Oh, got it. Yeah. I don't think I can watch that.
Yeah, that one I don't mind because I like the... I didn't like Unsolved Mysteries because you never get, you know, they never
like it's
the
hanging out
yeah,
there.
I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I liked the Forensic Files because it was the opposite. They would tell you the crime and then they tell you how they caught
how
these
they
knuckleheads.
Did it. Yeah.
And there was one episode where there was a guy, they had nothing on him, but when they went to interview him at his home, he had some open beers in his refrigerator. And they noticed that at the crime scene, there was an empty beer bottle. So the investigating officer was smart enough to notice this and put this together and like, hey, do you mind if we take those? And the guy, of course, being arrogant and thinking he's going to get away, go ahead and take them. What's the big deal? They found the serial number of that beer bottle at the crime scene was the same pack or whatever.
Yeah, isn't that
they go
crazy?
They go to the company, and the company says, well, we only sell these six packs in, you know, serial number together and everything. Nailed the guy. Like, you can't get away with anything anymore. Why does anybody commit
Why
any
do they
crime?
Think they can? Yeah. Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, I know. Yeah. Well, I mean, no one ever accused them of being smart,
right.
You know.
Those shows pulled me in a little
bit. See, and I think the only ones that I could ever really watch, like 48 Hours I could watch.
Oh,
and
I think yeah,
because, again, there was an end to it, right? Like
yes.
You weren't left hanging.
Yes.
But I also, it was kind of, that show was made for like network TV.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as graphic as like the, you know, like what you're
Forensic
talking about.
Files
like,
was graphic.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Like when you think about the ones that were on cable back in the day, so to speak, or streaming or, you know, for me, 48 Hours was softened enough that it wasn't so yucky.
I'm glad you brought that up too. That was a great show. Great reporting on that show. I always thought they did really cool like work and investigative work on that show. We're going to take a break right here. Speaking of good reporting, we're going to go to Melissa's news now. We'll come back with the 10 anti-love songs to listen to on Singles Awareness Day. This should be fun.
Of course.
We're coming back with that on the morning show here at WFHR.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Snowmobile trails across most of the southern and central part of Wisconsin closed yesterday because of deteriorating conditions. Langland and Marathon County trails closed on Tuesday, and only one trail remains open in Lincoln County as of last night. There are still some open trails in the northern counties, and trails here may reopen if we get enough snow in the coming days and weeks. There will be an Easter egg hunt in Stevens Point this year. Mayor Mike Wiesa shared that details are still being worked out, and they are looking for donations and volunteers. Contact the mayor's office if you are interested in helping with the event. The Easter egg hunt in Stevens Point will be on April 8th. UW-Stevens Point is one of only two Wisconsin universities to earn recognition as a Fulbright top-producing institution for U.S. scholars. UW-Madison and UW-Stevens Point received this award for the highest number of applicants selected for the 2022-23 Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. This international exchange program is among the largest, most diverse exchange programs in the world. UW health nurses are fighting in court to have their union recognized. The UW Hospitals and Clinics Authority tried to bypass lower state courts by filing a case directly with the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The state's highest court declined to take up the case. The fight to have nurses' unions voluntarily recognized and be able to collectively bargain for a contract will continue in Dane County Circuit Court. A spokesperson for UW Health Nurses United, SEIU Wisconsin, applauded the Supreme Court's decision, saying UW Health attempted to circumnavigate the regular legal process to try and take advantage of a conservative majority. A Milwaukee Bucks executive is making a new move politically. Alex Lansry ran an unsuccessful campaign for a Democratic U.S. Senate nomination last year. Now he is forming Next Wisconsin. This political action committee is investing in races for mayor and county executive positions across the state. Lansry will focus support in cities and counties where the issues Democratic Governor Tony Evers is fighting for will be turned into results and action. These include mayor races in Racine, Green Bay, and Stevens Point. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News on your locally grown radio station.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 40. West winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Overcast again tonight, lows dip down to about 21. Overcast tomorrow, highs around 25. Clear skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 26. 40 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
The message is perfectly simple. The meaning is clear. Don't ever stray too far. And don't disappear. No, don't disappear. Ever had the feeling? Almost broken to.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Getting that 80s theme going again.
I love it.
It's a good song. I love that song. Smokey Sings. Good song. Squeeze, I think. Isn't it Squeeze?
I have no
I'm
idea.
Not sure.
I know the song,
I know
though.
It's When Smokey Sings. Yeah. I know that. Yeah, yeah. And Smokey Robinson, one of the most legendary, beautiful voices of all time. A lot of great love songs from Smokey and The Miracles over the years. We're not going to have any of those songs in this list. I don't believe so anyway, because we're getting into the opposite of that. In case you didn't know, today is Singles Awareness Day. So in recognition, here is a list of the 10 anti-love songs according to ultimateclassicrock.com. So let's go through and have some fun with these, see how many of them we know, see how many of them we agree with, Terry. We'll start at number 10, Don't Think Twice, It's All Right from Bob Dylan. Know that one a little bit, and yeah, that seems to fit.
I don't know if I do. Mm. I mean, maybe if I heard it, but I don't, just from the title, I don't.
So Lonely from The Police, yeah, that seems like a pretty fitting one. That's, huh. Yeah. You're Breaking My Heart from Harry Nilsson. Harry Nilsson with that one. That one's a good one. I actually didn't think about that one, but I think that's actually a good fit. Let's see. Oh, here we go. I Hate Myself for Loving You from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Yeah, that seems pretty fitting right there. I'm actually surprised that, because her style of singing, like I would think almost, like if you were an artist, if you were writing songs, like breakup songs or anything like that, like she'd be one of the first artists I'd go
yeah,
to.
Yeah, you would think.
She's going to nail this. Like she's going to be fine with this one. Joan's got this down. Let me see here. Next is You're No Good from Van Halen at number 6. Yeah.
All right.
I could see that work. I could see that being one. That makes sense to me. And then we have, oh, yeah. I'm actually looking at the top five here. It makes a little sense. Love Stinks from the Jay Giles Band. I cannot tell you how many times we got that requested at WFHR, like WGLX, I mean, back in the day. Like, that one was requested all the time.
So, did they, like, request Centerfold first and then that one? Like, was it just Jay
Usually
Giles?
Usually on a double
like,
shot, yeah. Maybe on a double shot. But, God, that brings me back. I hadn't thought of that in a long time. That's one of those ones that was, actually, I think that may have been requested more than Centerfold.
You think so? Yeah, it could be.
I think it may have been. Let's see, especially this time of year. I think one of the greatest like breakup or hurt or you know bluesy kind of like classic rock songs, Aerosmith's "What It Takes."
Yeah,
that's a classic. If you're dealing with heartache, that's one of those ones you gotta put on. Like it just makes you feel a little better. Actually, I think it really gives you a chance to like see. Oh, Aerosmith could do a little bit more than just rock and roll. Like that's a bluesy song.
I agree.
If you heard B.B. King doing that song, you'd be like, well, that's a blues. That's one of the biggest blues hits it'll ever be. That to me is the biggest one on this list. Number 3 is "Go Your Own Way" from Fleetwood Mac. Yeah, but I never think about that as a breakup song.
No, me either. I never. Now I always will. Anytime I hear it, now I will.
Going forward, all I'm going to think of is like Stevie Nicks looking right at Lindsey Buckingham and saying, "Go your own way," like that. Like,
but no, I've never thought of that song like that.
I've always thought of it more of as like an independence song. Like, hey, I'm going to go my own way. Like, I never thought of it that personal. That's interesting. Number 2 on the list, Def Leppard's "Love Bites." Yeah, that fits. Yeah. I can't listen to that song though. I can't. Like, we played it too much.
Probably true.
And I absolutely refuse to play or listen to "Love Hurts" from Nazareth. I can't handle it. I can't. It's not.
Is that the number one?
Yeah, that's the number one song. It's not a bad song, and Nazareth's an amazing band, very good band and everything, so it's nothing like that. It has nothing to do with, it's just me overplaying it so much in my 9-10 years in classic rock radio. Adding on, it's not just that, it's the fact that I had a classic rock father who played all these songs ad nauseum before I even got into classic rock, and then that on top of it. It's not about the band or the artist or the song or anything like that, I've heard it too much, I can't do it. Do you have a, because I know that you and Randy have been together a long time and everything, but I imagine you've had some heartache. Did you have a song or did you have anything you went to?
Not really that I think of, but I do, but I'll tell you that when I kind of have that mood and not recent, but you know, like back, like mm-hmm. Sarah McLachlan, like just putting good her one. On, you know what I mean? Good like just one. Like she's got some good ones. Yeah. You know, Angel, mm-hmm. ADL, like just on the Angel album, actually. So I would say that's maybe a kind of more of a somber, that's sad go to for me.
Since I was, I was about 12 years old and I had the first girl break my heart. I kissed her and she ran the other way. It's the exact opposite, interestingly enough, of my father's first kiss. My dad, the first time he kissed a girl, he ran away.
Oh, funny. Like you think he's going to get in trouble?
Yeah. I remember being like just, you know, what I thought was heartache at the time. I had no idea. I've experienced real heartache since then many times. And after every one of them, first thing I do, listen to B.B. King's "The Thrill Is Gone." And it no matter how bad I'm feeling, that song, do I feel any better? Not really, but I feel like I'm not alone. Like, oh, B.B. King knows what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Lucille, his guitar knows what I'm talking about. Like, that's what the blues does to me, and I think a lot of people, that why we're fans of it, is it's not about, oh, it makes me sad. It's, oh, this is a song that when I'm listening to it, like, I've done this in the last couple of years, where I'll listen to these, I had never listened to "The Thrill Is Gone" except for when I was in a sad mood. So I was like, well, I should listen to this song when I'm in a good mood, just see what it's like.
Yeah, hits you you different.
It was completely different. Yeah. It was like a whole new song. Like, I'd never listened to it before. And I think that that's the essence of blues. Like, it's not, hey, we're going to bring you down. It's, hey, you're not alone, man. There's other people going through what you're going through.
I think being a teenager in the 80s, you know, honestly, I like Bon Jovi was my thing, right? Mm-hmm. So Shot Through the Heart, like that was probably, you know what I mean? Like gimmicky 12-year-old girl stuff, you know? I think those were kind of the songs that, I mean, and then how about the chicks, Earl Has to Die? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, like this is...
we were just talking about
exactly
death, you know?
Well, and you want to talk about like who took over the blues mantle for women? Country singers, country female singers. There's a couple of famous ones. Where Your Boots Been and like stuff like that. Like I know.
Yeah, who's been every boots been under?
There's the one about trashing a car or something like that.
Carrie Underwood.
Like there's like they've got that part of the market down.
Like we're not gonna be sad. We're gonna be mad, right? You know what I mean? Like that's kind of the.
And honestly,
there was a snapshot of time where that was kind of the message, right?
If I'm thinking about my daughters, like I would, I feel weird saying this, but I would almost rather them be a little angry than
brush it off, be mad, move on, right?
I like that attitude.
Don't give so much of your, I mean, when you've given your heart, you've given it, but don't, you know what I mean? Like you hope that the resiliency is there, that there isn't a long period of sadness.
I've always felt that the greatest revenge is moving on and they've taken enough from you. Don't let them take any more. You know, they've already taken your time, your heart, whatever else. Don't let them take any more. Keep moving. Keep going forward. You've got something better coming. And I like the idea of instead, I'm not just going to be sit here and sad and mope about you. I'm gonna get revenge. I'm gonna get back. Like I don't.
You're not
that.
Condoning that. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I do find it entertaining.
But it is a little funny.
Yeah, it is. We'll take a break. We'll come back with some That Ain't Right stories and good stories of the day coming up here on the morning show at WFHR.
Light the lamp.
Go the way down. He scores a 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with a high of 40. Winds out of the northwest, 15 to 20 miles per hour. Lows around 21. Tonight, cloudy. Cloudy skies expected again. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 25. Sunny skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 26. 40 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates all morning long. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James going to take it right to the top of the hour. Got some That Ain't Right stories to get to before our good stories of the day. And Terry actually has one of them.
And this is really not right.
Yeah, no.
So there's a dude last Friday who was arrested in Los Angeles. His name is Craig Ledbetter. We'll throw his name out there because I think it's hilarious. He was placed in custody after reports came from downtown Los Angeles of him running up to other men and cutting off their man buns.
This is crazy. It's crazy.
So like dozens of men are filling police stations in the downtown Los Angeles area saying they want to press charges because someone ran up and cut off their man bun. He cut off 37 man buns before he was apprehended or captured. But just think about that. I mean, I guess if someone ran up to you and they're like cutting off your hair, you're kind of stunned, like what's sure. happening. But 37 times before someone wrestled him to the ground or because, I mean, like,
I can guarantee you if I'd have been the second person, he wouldn't have made it to the third. I'll tell you that right now. And so I don't know how he made it to 36 because I can't be the only person that would have had a reaction like that.
So each assault could come with a sentence of 18 months in jail, which would be 55 and a half years.
55 years in prison.
Is what could happen, right? But
For what? Because you can't grow hair, so you're mad at other people for it?
You know, so anyway, but I will tell you, if you Google this and check it out, his mugshot is hilarious because he just has this stupid grin. Like, he is extremely proud of himself.
Yes. This man feels like he's really done some great work for society.
And what do you, it doesn't tell it in the story, but what do you think you cut them off? What do you think he was running around with? Like a scissor? I mean, probably not a machete. Somebody would have gotten him by that. But you know what I mean? Like, what is he like
it almost seems like it would have been like kid scissors, because how did he not hurt anybody?
But like, and it would
like, the fact that
but
he
it would have to be
anyone.
Quick.
Yeah.
You know, but, if mean, you like, get the whole bun
because
off.
Because it's quick, you would think he'd almost accidentally nick somebody. Like,
so he's got like 12-inch blades, but they have the safety end on them.
Plus, I think he was doing this just to put together, like, he couldn't afford a wig, so he was trying to get his own wig. I think he's saying he was doing different, you know, all this stuff and everything.
What a weirdo.
Very, very weird. At the same time, I think that as men with long hair, we have to figure out something else to do, because society is obviously had enough of the man bun. They've had enough of it. They're done with it. We got to figure out something else to do.
Need a new trend.
Need a new one. That was a great story. Thank you, Terry. I had not heard that one. That was hilarious. There is another one here for us. Ever since the craft beer scene exploded, brewers have been adding fun new ingredients to their beer, pretty much anything you can imagine. But somehow, no one has ever thought to use the condensation from the air conditioning units at San Diego International Airport until
now.
Yeah. San Diego's East Village Brewing Company worked with the airport to put that precious water to use. They collected the condensation from all of the airport's ACs, purified it, and then used that as the basis for two new beers. There's a West Coast style IPA called Hoppy Travels, and a German style Pilsner named Pre-Fight Pils. Hoppy Travels has a grapefruit guava flavor, and Pre-Fight has notes of lemon zest with a bready flavor.
So there's a shortage of water? Is that the issue?
Yeah, I mean, no. Well, actually,
could we water plants with the air conditioning condensation?
Yeah, I wish that was the reason they were doing this and bringing awareness to that, like in Arizona and those kind of states. But no, that is not what this is.
This is gross.
Yeah, the two brews were first announced a few weeks ago, but now they're available at the airport, and the reviews are pretty good. Hoppy Travels gets a 3.9 out of 5, and the beer app UTAP. Untapped, and the Pre-Flight gets a 3.8 out of 5. So not bad.
So, but people who are drinking it, do they know? I mean, do they have this little nugget of where their ingredients came from? Probably not. They just walk up to the airport bar, order an IPA, and say it's really good.
I think you're probably right about that.
That's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a very weird one. That's a very weird one. I don't see how that pulls people to your beer.
No, and what makes your brain even go there?
There's got to be a better way of doing that, I would think, if you want to incorporate the San Diego area and water or something. I don't know. You're right next to the ocean. I would think there's got to be some better options. Ugh. I don't know about that one. That ain't right. I'll tell you that. That's for sure that ain't right. Terry and I earlier were talking about the United Way and all the great things that are going on over there. I wanted to give you a second to touch on those, Terry, but I also wanted to bring people's attention to we had 2-on-1 day the other day, and we have Mayor Blazer coming up as our first guest in Morning Magazine. We talked about that last week and had some fun with it. This flyer that's going around with the United Way's 2022 highlights with 2-on-1 kind of featured in this. We talk every week about 2-on-1 and different things, and I feel like I'm pretty in the know of this stuff. I had no idea some of the stats here. 5,729 books were mailed to children in Southwood County through Women United and the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. When we talk about Power of the Purse and the importance of that, That's what we're talking about there. Those are the results.
Absolutely. The impact is great. And you can get involved in any way that's meaningful to you. And even a small, even literally, like if you say, I can't come to Power of the Purse, but you buy $5 worth of raffle tickets, that all contributes to ensuring that success and us doing a small part, albeit a very important part, of ensuring reading proficiency. So, you know, that's definitely a focus. 211 is actually just launching, and we'll do this maybe on a morning magazine show, just launching a new dashboard statewide that's really cool around 211 that you can drill all the way down to zip code to know what calls we're receiving, what people are asking for, where we're referring folks. So that's a really cool new feature that's just launching right now. And then I think, you know, something else that's important about last year is that Ben from our team was working really hard at engaging new volunteers and getting more people from the community to sign up through the Volunteer Center and to start exploring. Maybe they haven't volunteered yet, but to start exploring what opportunities are out there and where could they make a difference and really be of great impact with their time. And so, you know, there's just countless opportunities, and I really encourage people to get involved. We do have it's called our 2022 highlights, features all of those things that you and I just brought up, and certainly that's posted. You know, you can get a look at that and see, you know, that's kind of our abridged annual report, I guess. And there's a lot of great work being done. And one of the things that we have coming up is Power of the Purse. And this is a handbag silent auction, and we have raffles and all kinds of fun things that go on. You can sponsor kids for Imagination Library. That event will take place on March 14th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30. Tickets are on sale now. Tickets are $25, and that includes food, and we say appetizers, but that's just not even true. It's a pasta bar. I mean, it's a whole meal.
It's a real meal.
And of course, dessert. And so, you know, we've got all of that kind of cool stuff going on, and then we've got a few raffles. We have our calendar raffle that we do each year. We've got a raffle that's tied to Power of the Purse. We have My Free Taxes right now. So if you are looking at your tax preparation and wanting to do that free or at a very low cost, you can check that out. Cabin Fever Challenge is going on. So, you know, all of this can be found on our website at uwswac.org. Follow us on social media. We usually make one post a day, occasionally two, but usually it's one. And, you know, all of these things I just brought up, we will bring you to if you follow us on social media.
I appreciate the work that you and the staff do over there.
Thank you.
Very, very much. Getting to some other good stories of the day, a TikToker went viral recently where a five-year-old girl from Nebraska asked her grandfather to go to daddy-daughter Valentine's Day dance because her dad is not going to go. Sadly, he passed away a few years ago. Grandpa was thrilled to accept, and now the girl's mother posted some footage of her and grandpa all dolled up for the day. I just thought it would be fun, if my computer will work with me, to play a little of this for you. Let's see here if it'll just, yeah. Well, and of course, the volume is not there. Oh, and it's not. Okay, I thought it was the little girl actually talking. Okay, yeah.
That is super cute, though.
It's just a great video of her and grandpa together. And way to go, grandpa.
Like, you know, and a lot of fun. So our YMCA and Boys and Girls Club just hosted a father-daughter dance back on February 4th. And it's really fun. You know, same story, but local, right? And you can go on their social media and check out all the pictures of the dads and grandpas with their daughters and granddaughters. And, you know, those are really great stories.
Really, really. They hit the heart. So just love them. Someone in Pennsylvania rescued a cat that had been shot by an arrow, and the arrow was still piercing it. The rescuers immediately got it to a vet, set up a GoFundMe for its medical care, and it's already raised $5,000. The cat is named Cupid, and he'll eventually be available for adoption.
That is not even funny.
No, that's a little cruel. But he'll need another few weeks of recovery time first. The police are looking into what happened to Cupid, and I wish them luck with that. And finally, a couple broke the Guinness World Record for the longest underwater kiss. They kissed underwater for 4 minutes and 6 seconds.
They're not even moving their lips. They just had their faces smashed together.
They're smashed together.
There's
Wait a
no
minute.
Effort happening there.
Hold up. Come on. It's got to be I want a passionate kiss. Come on. I want a real kiss here. This is a stage kiss. And in like acting, when you see actors kiss on stage and they're hiding their faces, yeah, because they're just basically like two, like a Ken is. And Barbie doll. Like,
look at that dude. He had to wear goggles.
Yeah.
I think he probably has a nose plug on too.
I guess. I'll let it slide.
But that is, okay. I will say that is just a long time to just hold your breath.
Right. Yeah.
Do you think one of them is sucking the breath out of the other?
That's great. Oh, that is good. That's hilarious. And yes, I do. I do think that that's exactly what was happening. Yeah. Survival, baby. Survival. Romance is all great and everything, but you got to survive.
It is Singles Day.
I love the idea of somebody out there hearing this, like 4 minutes and 6 seconds. We could beat that. We could do like, that. Like somebody
game
can
on,
yeah,
right?
I don't think that's the last we're going to hear of that story. We want to send a big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, Phil and the gang over there, for joining us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. They'll join us next Wednesday. Be sure to head over to QPP for all your printing needs. A big thank you to Jenny Furkey for joining us. That was a lot of
fun.
That
was awesome.
That was so much fun, Jenny. Thank you so much for the time. And a big thank you to Stone Age Gem Minerals and More for giving away this Ethiopian opal ring. We appreciate them doing that, working with us, and we encourage you to check out their Facebook page,